Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius, descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life.
He'll let him speak for himself, he's got a lot to say. Pass him the mic and get ready to sway.
Easter, we're talking about Easter.
We're talking about Easter, you fucking...
It's opening day of baseball.
We'll figure something out. I'm already recording. We'll figure it out.
Oh, are we started? Live?
Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody.
Hey. What's up, Big Dicks?
Welcome.
And Small.
Welcome, Big Dicks and Small.
Just got to stand up for my people.
To the Octavarius podcast.
All. Big Dicks and Small, vaginas and all.
Represent.
Thanks for capping that, Lord.
This, of course, is episode 111 of the Octavarius podcast.
11-y-first.
Oh my
first.
God!
Lucky. Yes, it is our 111-y-first birthday. What you exactly just said. Cool. Hey, without any further ado, let's start off at the far end of the room and sound off.
Hi, I'm Nick.
Hey, it's LP.
Hey, I'm Castelvi.
Hello, I'm Scott.
Hey, it's Cloud.
Hey, it's Brian.
Hey, it's Tim.
Keith.
Lauren.
Mark.
Folks, do we have anything in the mailbag today? It's okay if we don't.
That would be okay.
No, I mean, I think I have it.
It's really okay if we don't. If we have something in the mailbag.
I got one.
It's great that we found it already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we found it before the podcast today.
Oh, no.
Is that letter opening coming through?
It is loud and clear through these ultra bass headphones, Mark.
This one comes to us from Mr. Holy Ghost.
There it is. That's what we're talking about.
And Mr. Holy Ghost writes, hey, you guys, I just had a latke for the first time, and that shit was delicious. I know, I've been an Easter guy for years, but, like, Passover's got some sweet meals. Is there a way to do both? Also, have you been outside? This spring weather is delightful.
Thank you, Mr. Ligost?
Ligost?
Yeah. L-I-G-O-S-T.
So we got an Easter Passover crossover.
What exactly is a latke? I don't believe I've had one.
It's potato pancake.
Latke.
Latke.
Okay.
Oh, I always say peas, but yeah.
You have.
I just didn't know
I've heard people say latke too.
Yeah.
I think that's how my grandpa says it.
You may have them with applesauce or with sour cream.
Sour cream, way
sour
better.
Sour cream's the real way.
I like that's a good
applesauce is possible.
Mm. Sometimes if you're feeling crazy, you can dip it in ketchup. That's
holy
good.
Shit, Lauren.
I'm spoiling
nuts. For me, it depends on how greasy the latke is, then I'll decide. You know?
So, Wikipedia is telling me that this year, Passover occurs the sunset of April 6th to...
Friday.
This Friday, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
it's
right.
Friday.
To the nightfall of April 13th / April 14th. What does that mean?
I think some people celebrate it differently.
Okay, because under April 14th, I think it's a seventh day. So.
Yeah, if there's any way we can try and fit in a Passover dinner this year, I love having that.
That'd be nice. I didn't get to do it last year.
He passed over it.
We had a great Passover dinner. Lauren posted about it on Octavarius last year. Someone can bing it and find Lauren's old post.
After
or you can
hours
search
of
on
searching.
The Octavarius site. But yeah, we had a great Passover. I gave the Seder, which was mostly off of a family Seder that my family does. But I altered it for us. Because we had a lot of non-Jews present, and I'm not really a full-on Jew, not really a Jew at all, I guess, because it's on my dad's side. But I was raised with both, and I find the Passover dinner a lot more satisfying for me than Easter.
Why is it when it has to be on the mother's side, or?
It's just like,
is that what it
like
is? That's what it is,
law,
right? If your mom's Jewish, then you're Jewish.
And Christianity is like that too.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah,
I've never heard that. I think that's one of your Jew lies.
It sounds very much like a Jew lie.
Well, Jew law, Jude Law.
It's
because, well, Mark, do you want to explain about Jude Law? Or
I love coming closer.
There's a lot to it besides just the Torah.
Yeah, there's the Torah, which is like the five books of Moses, which is actually was like three books, and then there was like a fourth one that they kind of tacked on with a bunch of rules. If you read the fifth book, Deuteronomy, you'll notice a lot of like repeat stuff that's just rephrased from earlier books. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because there was a time where Israel was kind of getting out of hand, and whoever was king at the time happened to stumble upon a fifth book of Moses, like sitting in a janitor's closet. He was God, you guys. We totally forgot about this book. Uh-huh. And then it like reinvigorated the religion of the state.
We totally forgot about this book.
But Deuteronomy is totally in our Old Testament.
That was a long time ago.
What's the crossover with the Bible and the Torah?
So a couple things. The one thing that I did not get to, because I got sidetracked on the story about how the king faked a book of Moses. Part about Jewish law is like the Torah itself is, you know, can fit in like a book. You know, normal size, couple hundred page book. But there are like 30 volumes of just people talking about the Torah. Just various rabbis throughout the year. And it's fascinating to read because it's like literary criticism / religion / law.
And an interpretation, I imagine, too.
Yeah, because it's all like how do we actually apply this? You know, like, and it's all in like, you can't shave the corners of your beard. Well, it's like six different rabbis being like, where's the corner of my beard? And just talking about that and then like anecdotes from them. And that is way more fun to read. I'd say that has much more like second and third reading potential than the Torah itself, where you're like, I get it.
How do you get onto that? You said it's like 30 volumes. Is that like, respected like rabbi, like just, like I don't know. That's
is
like,
there a hierarchy of importance within the
biblical scholars?
Yeah, you can't get in anymore because like it in and of itself is so old. I feel like most of that scholarship was done around the time like before or around when Christianity was getting on its way. So like a lot, it's called the Talmud, and I don't exactly. I think it's Talmud.
Yeah, it's Talmud.
Talmud. Okay. And like it was a bookcase of the rabbi I had when I was younger. It was just all taken up by this. The crossover between the Bible, I believe, God, it's been a long time since I've read either of them. The five books of Moses are in it. The Psalms, I believe, are also in the Bible, mm-hmm. and some other stories that were just plain fun.
Yeah, they. Some of them spread into other books of the Old Testament, because for the Old Testament, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Deuteronomy,
Corinthians,
1st and 2nd Corinthians,
Midichlorians,
Midichlorians, yeah.
Corinthians are a New Testament, right?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was. I was just taking a complete guess, and then you affirmed it, so I was
Corinthians is a New Testament.
That's a good guess.
It's a book.
It sounds like the others, the name.
It's a two-book.
It's a two-book. I don't remember. I don't even learn any of this.
Do you guys remember the story of Job?
No.
Oh, my God.
Job was God's favorite.
It's the shittiest way to be someone's favorite. I was so mad reading that.
Job is God's favorite, like Mark is God's favorite.
I think Job has a lot more of a rougher time than Mark did.
I think so, too. But
although Job did have quite a few tales of sorrow to tell.
Yeah.
I feel like Job is almost all sorrow. Almost all.
I hated the story of Job. I was like, I can't read this. This is stupid.
It's upsetting.
It's very upsetting.
I like Jonah and the Whale, Daniel and the Lion.
Yeah, that
lion.
One's cool.
Cool.
Any human animal stories.
The thing about Job, the poor guy doesn't do anything bad to deserve such a terrible experience. And most of the other books are about, you know, if you do something wrong, God may use punishment as a way to get you back on track.
like Jonah and the whale. He was a dick, didn't want to help out, so he punished him into, and also taught him a lesson.
But this is just the story of somebody being punished, because God and Satan are just having a friendly bet. They're just having a goof.
And he's getting punished because he was chosen as the most faithful.
Yeah.
Yeah, which kind of sucks. Mm.
And like, also, God in the Old Testament is a dick.
He is. It's completely different in New Testament. New Testament, God is so friendly and wonderful and helpful.
Old Testament's like kind of dark.
God is all about forgiveness in the New Testament.
You know,
New Testament's all love.
I think maybe God just lightened up. You know why? Because he found Jesus.
Wow, an early lead in the podcast.
I feel like he mellowed out because he had a kid. He just had a kid.
Yeah, he didn't even get laid doing it.
Yeah, that's true.
But he got laid. God did. God screwed the hell out of me.
Raped her.
Yeah, that's where this is.
Argue. Someone argue.
No.
She was asleep.
No. Well, an angel came to her and was like, hey, just so you know.
Hey, you want
to
hook up with my buddy?
The angel came and said, just so you know, God fucked you when you were sleeping. He sent me to be the bearer of bad news.
And also, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Did not use
so good you were asleep through the whole.
You know what? The only apology is that you didn't get to be awake for God fucking.
Well, you want to know the weirdest thing about it is that Mary was about 14.
That's
Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, that's
back
when,
in the time.
Yeah, back in the time, 14-year-olds were brilliant.
That's why
they were ready.
Well, people died at like 23 then. So
Joseph was damn near 30 though.
Damn near 30.
Well, he went through a lot though. He got stuck in that hole, and he had to sing all those songs.
That's not the same guy.
Oh, you're talking about Mary husband and Mary.
Mary's Joseph was not the Technicolor Dreamcoat Joseph.
Oh, okay.
Mary's Joseph was...
I thought you meant that Joseph.
Mary's Joseph was a carpenter who had a tough life.
Yeah.
And he, like, did not want to take on responsibility
Joseph,
at all.
Yeah, Mary...
Like,
what? Something else in
there. Mary's Joseph is, like, the ultimate good sport.
But
like, what a good sport.
The other thing that's weird is... So my guy, if they're getting married at like 14, my assumption is this is why like bar and bat mitzvahs are that age and quinceañeras.
Uh-huh.
It's like, hey, ready for babies?
Yeah.
Who wants them?
I guess that totally makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah, father at 14 is pretty much the greatest thing that's ever dropped since the quinceañera.
Nice. That's quite grand.
But he put up with having to raise the Son of God, but not even...
I do have to say...
It's a big responsibility.
Yes, Lauren.
It seems like...
Man,
okay, I'm taking a step away from...
Take a step, Lauren.
Someone needs to get in this chat room.
What?
Quick.
Castelvi and LP are destroying each other in the Octavarius chat room as we're speaking.
When Mark... Or
this is a surprising number of Hitler cats, by the way.
Oh, no.
No.
It's just cats that happen to look like Hitler, right?
Wait, show them Mark Zuckerberg Matzo thing.
They sent it to me.
Oh, okay.
I put it in the chat room.
I just typed it in racist
so cats. You were saying that like the most loyal people are like, it's get fucked over, it seems like.
Yeah.
I see that in tons of stories. I mean, of course I'll mention some. Harry Potter.
Oh my God!
Worm tail gets fucked over by Voldemort.
He's also he's a dual though.
But Joe,
he's an ass bag.
He still was the one who brought Voldemort back.
In the end, Lauren, though, Job is taken care of great, and he gets seated, you know, next to God.
That's a big lesson of the Bible. Is
that's
like
the Bible's lesson.
These things will happen, and you might get shit on, but like, it's all
in
a
the
big
end.
Scheme.
It doesn't
like,
happen
it'll
to
all be okay.
Job and Mission Impossible. If we can go back to that for a second,
if we could, I feel like this is a big topic.
She's stealing the knock list. If you guys remember Mission Impossible, what
I do remember it very well. I actually watched last week.
Is that after
Job
Deuteronomy
3:14? Job 3:4. Is there like I watched a movie like a year ago last time? Besides it being like in the Drake Hotel, not to switch it to Mission Impossible.
Could we please?
But is there like a reason why there's that religious name to it? Is there, besides, like, how well you remember Mission Impossible 1. From
what is there a reason why? What? Why they changed the Job 3:14? Yeah.
Because
like,
that's.
I mean, with like within like the Bible passage. And stuff you guys are talking.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah. What's the verse 3:14? Can you guys look up Job 3:14?
Am I?
Is
that the one that? Is that the one that that Austin is paraphrasing slash?
Got it.
No, that's John.
With kings and counselors of
60
built for themselves places without any
ruins.
All right, one.
Job is old.
One at a time.
Castelvi, why don't you read it out for us?
Okay, with kings and counselors of the earth who built for themselves places now lying in ruins.
With kings and counselors of the earth who built for themselves places now lying in ruins.
Are you at bibbible.cc?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yay!
Oh, me too.
Oh, good.
Wasn't it, LP, help me, since you just watched this, wasn't the Job 3:14... wasn't it because I think that's when the internet was starting up and email addresses were new and cool.
Yeah.
That they just happened. That's how they contacted each other, was through this one random Bible study bulletin board.
Yeah. Well, he had chosen the email address Job 3:14 at like whatever it was, and because of what it stood for, because he's trying to destroy the CIA? They're not CIA.
IMF?
Yes.
They're
trying to destroy IMF.
The International Monetary Fund?
No.
Kings and Councils of the Earth, who built for themselves places force. Now lying in ruins, trying to tear it apart from the inside.
I see.
It's very...
And it's Mark, cool. The Bible verse you were referring to with Stone Cold Steve Austin is John 3:16, because that is like the key Bible verse for all Christians.
Yeah.
Which is, for God so loved
the
world
that
he gave his only
begotten
Son,
so that ever who believed in him may not perish but have everlasting life.
That is Eternal. Exactly
wow.
Correct.
Yes.
That sounds...
Is that stuff you learn in confirmation
that
class?
Is what they thrust into your brain as a
child. You learn that in just about everything in Christian class. John, if you don't know John 3:16 as a Christian, like, then you know,
dude, I went to Catholic school like all of my childhood, and I had no idea what John 3:16 was.
You never saw it at like football games and shit.
No, I saw it there.
I was never defined.
Yeah,
I'd see it. I'd see it on signs and shit, but I never got taught that. I took CCD classes for a little while.
Did
they
teach you there?
I took
not much. Apparently,
years.
They taught. They never. Gave us a tour of the church. And they showed where the little bells are. They show how to ring the bells. They show when to ring the bells. A lot of bell learning.
Where did you learn John 3:16, Keith?
I was in children's choir at church, and it was like, and basically one of the things that to put all the kids that in that church to do on a Wednesday afternoon after school. It was like children's choir, so any age, 5 to like 11, I think, is what the bracket was. You'd meet on Wednesdays to practice songs. And the way that it got ingrained in my head was this song that was, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-boom, shall not perish, but will have everlasting life." John 3:16 means you can be born again.
And reach for the sun.
And Mark, Stone Cold Steve Austin did that because it was in response to another wrestler who was a born again Christian. Jake the Snake Roberts, who would espouse his new Christian values, and he would always talk about John 3:16. And Austin, who had just defeated Jake the Snake for the King of the Ring title, he said, "Jake the Snake, you talk about your John 3:16 and how God saved you. Well, Austin 3:16 says I just whipped your ass." And that's where that started.
Yeah.
And he just improvised that there.
It's the biggest thing ever.
Yeah, it then sold like a million fucking t-shirts.
I had that shit. It was awesome.
I can't wait to be Keith 3:16 whenever we see a wrestling show.
There's so many people do that. I saw it at WrestleMania. There's a dude that had like Ben 3:16 or something.
Oh, I would. That's all I would do. Or Habersburger 3:16.
That's a great example of like, that's a New Testament verse that's like, if you just care and love, like then, you know, you can be saved. compared to Passover, where I believe the moral is, if you don't listen after 10 times, I'll murder your firstborn son.
What?
And then you won't get a chance.
It's like Liam Neeson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, it's like Taken.
But, exactly. But what I like about the Passover dinner is that it is about coming together as a family, mm-hmm. and you know, it's almost like another type of Thanksgiving, but even more so because you're thinking about, you know, the world and all of those that are oppressed.
And you're
and
saved.
Especially people that, you know, like, you know, finding their Zion, their Israel.
It is officially, I mean, technically, I believe it is the celebration of the Exodus.
Being passed over.
I feel like Easter is the same feel. Yeah, yeah. Like, the eggs represent rebirth and all those things and everyone coming together.
They're probably all based on pagan ceremonies that happened at that time.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
where are these things come from? Yeah. Paint some eggs. Hide them.
Just hide them. Jesus, dude.
I'm fear them.
Positive. I'm going to get an Easter basket when I go home, though, this weekend.
I also like, one thing that I love about Passover, at least the way my family does it, is it's almost like a drinking game. Mm-hmm. After, you know, after, like, each couple of things, you take a drink. And you take a drink to remember this. You take a drink to remember that. Finish your cup for this.
I believe that's in the script for most of
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's also, how often do you have a scripted dinner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a dinner theater?
Yeah.
Medieval time.
Yeah, medieval
dinner
times.
Theater,
Passover is the medieval
time. Dude, medieval
time
should do an
intervention.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Where they just act out all the plagues. such a different show. It'd be
so
great.
That would be
okay.
An awesome show. I totally pay
Logan's
for that.
Logan's made of laser lights. Oh god.
So there's a History Channel special called Battles of the Bible.
Nice.
Battles of the Bible.
But so what?
Why?
It talks about a few things. There's a couple parts in the Bible that are very that are, like, I don't know if skipped over is the right word, that are just, like, dealt with very quickly. And one of them is the conquest of Canaan. And it just very quickly describes how the Jewish people move from town to town, murdering everyone, and, like, just conquering the land of Canaan that they thought they were entitled to.
Yeah, this is on the
History Channel? Yes. Well, I mean, this is in the Bible.
Now, why'd they do that, Mark?
Well, why'd they not do that?
After all that lesson they should have learned about of sharing and how it sucks to be on the bottom rung, why would they make a whole town bottom rung by murdering them?
That is a good question, and I do not have a good answer.
Now, would you say
the argument was that they were God's chosen people?
Yeah. They were told they got that land. They
taking. Wasn't that, like, the Pharaoh's argument and stuff? That,
yeah,
like,
but
they
he
were
was,
you're exactly
he
right.
He was wrong, Keith.
I know, but he was wrong.
But what I think is funny is, like, no one ever talks about that when I was a kid. They're never like... They're like, oh, and then, like, when I was a kid, it was like, and they left Egypt. And, like, even the parts where they're leaving Egypt, it says that, like, the Jews left Egypt taking what they needed from the towns along the way.
Yes.
And the irony is, like, so as a kid, they, like, whenever you see portrayals of Pharaoh, he's like, okay, Jews, you know
okay,
what?
Jews.
The rivers turn to blood. Rivers are blood. I get it. Your God is powerful. Just get out. Just get out. And then in the Bible, it's like, they went through and took everything they needed from the towns along the way out. And then Pharaoh got mad and sent people after them. And, like, as a kid, I was like, what a dick. But looking back, it's like, oh, wait, they pillaged all of his towns on their way out of Egypt? Of course he's sending an army after them.
You got all these towns.
But they were,
wasn't that battle, though? I mean,
The argument,
are they still kind of battling the Pharaoh? Or
yeah.
I mean, the argument for it is they were slaves and they were freed. And then it was like, well, I've been a slave to you for so long.
Yeah.
I'm taking my reparation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's what I think is interesting. But, like, as a kid, you think the Jews were, like, victims in this, which they were not, you know, they were obviously slaves, which is shitty. But, like, then they just remove the parts where the Jews did a justifiably aggressive thing and just teach you that they were, like, defenseless Jews just trying to get out of Egypt. And the mean old Pharaoh just kept changing his mind like some old flip-flopper.
Well, the story's always...
Then God drowned them.
So it's different based on who is telling the story and who is targeted at. Yeah, and history itself is just so blurry because, like, so many random
sources. I mean,
U.S.
history did a lot of bad, you know... I mean, we go past...
Oh, are you referring to the part where we gave all the Japanese internships?
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of shitty things in our past.
There are a lot of people that don't like the Japanese, though, too, for all the internships Japanese gave to the Chinese.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's...
And also raping them.
Yeah,
that was bad,
I mean,
too.
It's crazy.
That's in what part of the Bible is that?
I can't believe our Facebook, our chat room thread has finally come into the topic of conversation.
What is it?
You're having some terrible things happening in the chat room.
Oh, yes, Scott.
And you're actually talking about them right now.
Too much Japanese people?
I'm talking about rape pretty heavily.
That's not good.
Well, it's only Spider-Man.
Okay.
Well, it's only Spider-Man.
It's fictional.
But yeah, I mean, it's odd how many horrible things we've done to each other, but I feel like now, as time moves on, what we try to do is, you know, kind of smooth it over and be we're better than that now. And then whenever somebody sets us back, we're not better than that.
We're worse.
Or they move on doing something else.
I think we're just as bad, but we don't get away.
We're better in some areas and worse in many others. I mean, it's like, you can look at different racism throughout the years. It was against the Irish, then the Italians, then the Polish. And
always the blacks, unfortunately.
Always black people, and still today, it's
not
terrible.
I'm not saying we solved everything, but you don't think we're that much better. What do you think?
Are you talking about humans, or are you talking about Americans?
Anger and racism towards Muslim people.
Mm-hmm. That's gotten worse.
Mm-hmm. It's gotten much worse.
But
recently.
We're not going around killing people. Like,
we're not having
Americans
a Holocaust.
We're not, but people are. People are going around killing people.
Yeah, in this world, there are people still.
In this country, there are people.
Yeah,
there's a story of that. That happened like not too long ago.
There's much more in the world than in the country.
Yes.
Yeah, there's
Trayvon
Martin
Castelli.
It's like,
well, there's the genocide. There's all this crazy shit going on.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, it seems that every 3 years there's a genocide happening.
Yeah.
Which is really quite terrible.
There's a shooting like yesterday, right? Or
today.
That's different than a genocide.
But I mean, like an attempt at wiping out like an entire body of people. Like,
well, we did that. We wiped out.
I know.
All the Native Americans.
I know, and that's what's so awful. Is
I mean,
that
we have a better society.
That keeps happening. That is like something that this world has had happening forever, it seems.
Yeah, like us wiping out the Native Americans is more or less the same thing as like the Hebrews wiping out the people of Canaan.
You're totally right.
Well, the Germans trying to wipe out the Jews or the, you know, or...
I guess German Jews is a little bit different because the Germans are already there. The U.S. Canaan thing is like, this is our land, even though you're already here.
I feel like just the fact that everyone is so different in the world, there's always going to be good, there's always going to be evil, there's always going to be really great, positive people, and there's always going to be, like, wars and murder people. Like, somehow they balance out in a weird way, like, but that's just how it is. Like, there's always going to be shitty people. There's never going to be a time where it's like, everyone is great and not killing people.
Once we're all cyborgs.
Unless there's peacekeepers, like in the Hunger Games.
You're right. That's a delightful world we should all look forward to, Lauren.
Well, but it's the post-apocalyptic world of the fact that, they all rebelled, so now there's supposedly a time of peace and there's no more war. But the way they remember the war or their history lesson is having the Hunger Games every year to show the sacrifices of war and battle, and that's
why
we don't want
it. Foolhardy way.
Can't they make
it
like
war,
textbooks
though.
And stuff?
Yeah, right.
Can't they, you know, have videos?
Yeah.
Right?
All right, this was 10 years ago. It's just as good as watching this year's, I guarantee it. They kill them the same ways.
Well, we did it all the time. We still have wars everywhere. There's no
Everywhere. I just found out, I found the article of the Muslim woman who was beaten. It was in California.
What?
This is just on March 27th.
Jeez.
Just not too long ago. As a woman was beaten to death in her home. It was a racially motivated attack. It was something along the lines of, go home. Go back. Terrorists, go back to your country, was written on her. By her body.
What?
Whoa.
Just a poor woman?
You didn't even give her a chance to do that.
Right?
Killing her. You can't say go back to your country and then kill somebody. It's not fair.
We're not talking about with Jesus.
I don't think that message was for her, to be fair.
Have y'all seen the movie Crash? Racism is a lie.
Yo, man.
I know it's been black for that.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. I feel like I get all sensitive about racism.
I feel very sensitive about it. I'm always, like, afraid that I'm being racist. You're just always worried.
You're afraid that you have...
Yeah, I have a ton of white guilt.
Well, it's hard because you want to balance, you know, not judging people, but the judgment that we have is in at times, say, like a survival mechanism. It's like if you're walking down the street by yourself at night and there's like not necessarily like one race or another, which is like a giant dude who looks shady, you know, like you're going to look at him and use your best judgment to figure out what you should do. And unfortunately, like, skin color statistically is a factor in that sort of thing.
But that's just a lot of that is in this country alone. Yeah.
I guess I'm saying for our experience. Yes. It's hard because you don't want to judge, but sometimes you use your judgment.
I don't know.
There's always going to be those stereotypes. In England, it's cultural, and it's just people who are poor and have that Cockney accent are, like, looked down upon, but not as much as black people in this country, of course, today. But it's just, there's always going to be people, as a society, we're always going to look negatively toward one group of people or positively to another.
Because it's, I don't know. Human beings do.
Call me crazy.
I do, all the time.
Does anyone else in this room think that you're, like, in general, pretty colorblind? Like, I don't think about, oh, this person's black, this person's this. Like, I don't feel like I think about it much.
I notice it.
Yeah, I recognize it, I just don't give a shit.
I don't care, it doesn't affect, like, what I think about them as a person, but it does affect that I have to think about it. Of course you think about it, because you have to be an informed person.
So here's a question, usually. Like, at the CIF gala, the two people winning the award were black. Almost everyone else related to their experience was also black.
Not the two other people in
that
group.
That's true. The two Baronholtzes weren't. Mm-hmm. But like, they had, like, Pimprov, like, what did they do? Did they introduce that award? Yeah. And then they had, like,
the guy that drove him around was black.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, like, might not have been intentional. It might not have been intentional. I don't know. But that's what's interesting is, like, when does coincidence become intention, and then when does that become bad?
You guys know Tyler Perry, correct?
Yeah.
Not personally.
Did you read that thing about
him? Yeah, just, was it today or yesterday?
What was that?
He was pulled over by a white police officer, and correct me if I'm wrong, Keith, if you remember. They were on the lookout for a African-American male driving a nice car. So they pulled him over, and from his side of the story, the police officers were trying to... another officer approached, was trying to reach through the passenger window. Another officer was trying to reach the driver's side window. I don't know what they were doing. But then a third officer, who was African-American, pulled up, apparently took the two officers to the back of the police car, kind of spoke to them in a hushed tone.
That's Tyler Perry, motherfucker.
And, yeah, basically explained who this was, and this is not who we're looking for. And I guess he started some sort of campaign on Facebook where he's trying to share this story with everyone.
Yeah.
Wow. So how racism is still here.
Well, yeah, even...
I mean, really...
Yeah, I got it right there. That's exactly what happened.
Thrash, they were like, I can't believe that they're black. And I'm like, they're supposed to be black. In the book, it's written as dark skin.
Oh, yeah, I was hearing about that. People are up in arms about that Hunger Games thing.
Yeah, because that was ridiculous. They're from a district that, like, she wrote about that said... They were in agriculture district. They're out in a... It's a dark skin, dark eyes. I mean, like...
Even if it didn't say that, like, fucking colorblind casting.
And it doesn't even matter. Yeah, why would... It's supposed to be in North America. There's got to be different types of people there.
And kudos to you, Lauren, for bringing it back to the Hunger Games.
I know.
It was seamless and topical. So I apologize.
I feel like I don't... In terms of... I notice... I guess I... Like, in terms of things that I would... Dude, like, when I would change my behavior, I guess I would change it more based on class than I would race.
Yeah, like, I definitely feel that.
Yeah.
Like if there's a real smelly guy in, like, a shitty hoodie and he just, like, looked gross.
I'm a neighborhood
person. I get freaked out if I see a lot of graffiti and a lot of, like, you know, rundown stuff.
I'm like, ah, cool. This is like, awesome.
That freaks me out. If I'm driving and I start seeing...
Someone painted the walls. Oh, good God.
But no, like it's all like, you know, run down and there's barbed wire and like that freaks me
out. Where are you going with this part?
Well, I went to a shower on Sunday, a wedding shower, and it was like, I had to go pack, like, kind of like by Beverly, you know?
Yeah.
But like, but, and then a little bit farther southwest, I don't know, and it started to freak me out because I started... Like there was, it becomes less stuff. Like more
so
open.
Do you feel like there are roving bands of thieves? Like, no,
there's just more.
There's something.
But yeah, that's when I start getting like
that are not safe.
It's why I look at the environment. It's
definitely,
she's a preemie.
but like, what is that? What is that entail, Lauren? What does that entail, though? Like, what you say it freaks you out, but how does your demeanor change?
Oh, geez.
Like, I mean, are you just, like, shaking the entire time?
Lock the window, lock the doors, probably call Tim's.
This has happened before, hasn't it?
Tim's, there's this mook following behind my
car. For those not familiar, when Lauren feels threatened, she calls Tim's.
Who saves
be on the phone. Just to be on the phone.
Just because he's the only one that'll be patient with you?
That might be it. I don't know.
I really wouldn't have the patience.
It just became a thing when I first moved to the city and lived down by myself. I think you were the first one I ever got a hold of the first time I was scared. And then it was like, Tins, calm me down. Talk me back to reality. I'm still in, like, Lakeview. Probably no one's following me.
It's a constant fear that someone's following you.
I'd trust Tim. Like, if I was getting mugged, but I had to be on the phone with someone, like, Tim's
would be
pretty calm.
Oh, and he had a car.
Like,
yeah, dude,
I'd totally
stay on the phone with you while the police arrived.
I like to think that these issues of, like, being afraid of other people and stuff, like, gets better with each generation.
Yeah.
You guys agree with that? So, like, when I look at my parents... I don't know. They're always like freak. My mom is the same thing. If we go in a weird area, you're just like lock the doors, close the windows of the car, and she like hold her like purse near her in the front seat. And I'm like, Mom, no one's gonna like jump on top of the car and like.
You don't know that.
No, just today I was driving through Mom's car. Four people just came up and just tried opening the door. They were like, "Let me in! Let me in there!" Four different people. Four different intersections.
It's weird because you're in Ballantyne.
I know.
Someone at work, my boss, is from here, from Chicago, said when he was like fucking like 11 or something, he got his bike stolen. He was stabbed and had his bike stolen.
Oh,
my goodness.
Jesus, that's
where?
Not funny.
In his arm.
Funny.
He lived. He's my boss. He's doing quite well.
Jesus. That's the thing. Is like
but so like thing. That's things can happen.
Like,
it's terrible.
It's like it's not like locking your doors costs you anything.
No,
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you just
and
lock
that,
your doors?
That makes you feel better. And there was somebody I knew, a girl who was in a cab, and I think once you get in a cab, you're golden. Which I probably shouldn't think that way in retrospect. But
you should be scared all the time.
No, all the time.
But apparently, this girl got in the cab. And then a drunkard like tried to get in and was like, this is gonna be my cab. And she was already in there like going somewhere, and they were like at a stop sign or stoplight, and got in, and he was like, no, I want this cab. And she was like, no, I'm already in it. And he punched her.
Sorry.
and like forced her out of the cab and took the cab. And like, I think there was consequences after that, but like she
like
got beat up
with this story.
For like, you know, so like that freaks me out because it's like,
I don't know,
like someone can just come in and
why didn't she lock the door?
Well, I get in a cab, I don't lock
I told
the
you
door.
Four people came to my car.
I gotta say that like I've heard a lot of these horror stories, even like people in my family, like it's happened to them where like a drunk person goes in their house. These things happen.
I await the day. I anxiously await the day I come home to a drunk man.
I'm so ready.
It happened to my aunt, drunk man at his house. Anyway, point being that there's like, this is like one in a million story. Like there are 8,000 stories of nothing happening, you know? Like
know,
these are like extreme situations.
Yeah, but wouldn't you take free precautions? to prevent, to make sure you're not the one story?
This is why you should
like, do you lock your front door?
Yeah, I
don't lock the door in my house, but I don't freak out like some other people I know, but like, lock all the windows all the time, never answer the door,
You know, you say that, but everyone I know who's ever, I know like 3 people who've been robbed in Lakeview, and it's one multiple times.
I'm like, well, I find that I'm, like, safe enough, but I don't freak myself out and go crazy about it.
I
can't live in fear, Mark.
I walked into someone else's apartment one time thinking I was on the 3rd floor when I was actually on the 2nd. And I just walked in, and I was just in my own world, and I kind of glanced around.
I hope
you
saw someone tell me
something. Well, I noticed something was different, but I couldn't quite tell what. So then I walked to, like, the back room. And I noticed where there should be a dining room, there was a living room.
Oh, no.
A woman sitting in a chair.
Shit.
Staring at me wide eyes. What are you doing in my apartment?
Oh, my God.
And I said, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong floor. I walked into someone else's house. She's like, yeah, I think you did. I was like, you should probably lock your door. She's like, yeah, I think I will.
Oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
And her husband was home, too. I walked right by him. He was in the office.
Sir?
Oh, my God.
With
his
college.
You say?
Come out with a baseball bat and beat the shit out of me. Or
I'm combing my horse's hair.
It sounds so nonchalant.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was such an accident.
But can you imagine if someone was, like, completely terrified of that kind of thing, overreacting like that?
Yeah.
Like, if this was a complete accident, someone freaks out and takes a bat to your skull.
Yeah.
That's why I'm those freaked out people.
I would give Scott a chance to explain himself real quick.
That's
if someone
you,
broke into my house,
that's
you,
polite,
but then...
I'm very polite. I
feel like I guess some people wouldn't.
I'm different because
bash and ask questions later.
I feel like, and it sounds hippy dippy, but I feel like if you're putting out a vibe of fear and whatever, you'll attract.
I mean, obviously, if I see Scott like coming in, like walking towards me within a daze. I mean, I look for the heaviest thing I can find. I'm not going to swing at him.
I grab my knife for... Because I feel like Scott's expression isn't like, yeah, coming at you. It's also like, huh, this is strange. This is also, I'm wrong!
Clearly doesn't have ill intent in his eyes.
I have made a mistake, and this is all non-verbally, I think.
Brian, this is like, I agree, if you're walking down the street and you're just confident in where you're going and not worried about it, then like, no one's going to bother you.
That's,
but if you're like, looking around,
that's not true. Some people will bother you. Not everyone, but there are people who will bother you.
But I feel like if you are like nervous and looking around and like, then I feel like you can attract
But it's like, I understand being a woman walking alone in the city and being scared of a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. But it sucks kind of being on the other end of that a lot of times, too, where, like, a woman and I will just randomly make eye contact on the L, we'll both get off of the same stop, we'll both start walking down the same street, and I can just see her keep looking back and trying to walk as fast as she can forward.
That's a weird exception, because I've never had that happen.
No, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I'll actively move, cross the street.
Yeah, I will totally do that.
Well,
Really?
I see you way down there, that. Guess what? I'm across the street now. Have a nice night, ma'am.
You're safe now. See?
I hope you're almost home. You look worried.
But if I was bad, you would be raped.
So be careful.
I feel like if I ever get that look, like, oh, are you following me? If I ever get that look, I just go.
I don't think
like oh shucks, yeah. and then. They dismiss me.
I don't think it's exclusive to women, though. I feel self-conscious.
Oh, dude, I totally notice dudes.
If
like
a dude is following me, I'm like, dude, you better not be following me.
God, honestly,
you better speed up and pass me real quick.
I must be like way too trusting of people because I never think that. It's weird.
You will now.
There are some crazy people.
There are. That's very, very true.
I think that's what I don't like the most. Like, I feel like most, if they have reason, then I'm not worried about it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I could talk to them or whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing that is weird to me is, like, just people who don't care. Who just don't care what I think or want. And then, like, and that's what's weird.
The mourners.
Did you hear this crazy new fan.
Ready, please.
People like study certain like strangers' schedules. And they will come in and live in your residence while you're not there.
That's not a fad. Then, that's a crime.
I think Robin Williams did that in 1 hour photo.
And they'll like fad? They'll do, yeah, it's this new thing.
I don't think it's not a new thing. It's not a fad.
It's not a fad.
It's a thing that crazy people do.
Yeah.
It's not a fad. Like, that's not popular. Britney Spears isn't doing it.
They'll like shower. They'll use your stuff, but they make it a game. So they'll use your shampoo, but then they'll like fill it back up with water, or they'll eat you the cereal, but they'll wash everything, make it look like they weren't there. And they try not to get caught. I swear.
Okay.
Where did you hear about this?
All right, no, I can look this up.
Yeah, so gonna,
should I put fad in? No.
Yeah, put it in.
So essentially, the game is to sneak into somebody's house while you know they're not home.
Squatters?
But the idea, and correct me if I'm wrong here, the idea is to like live the area in for as long as possible and not get caught.
Yes, and not get noticed.
Is it like a dangerous? So like you're really gonna do it? Like you're gonna take a shower in that apartment or whatever, just because like that's high danger. You don't know if you'll get caught.
They are trying to live in there like it's their home.
For
until,
what?
Like one person decides they're sick that day, or like what if?
Well,
then
that's when people.
Be careful! You got to be careful.
Okay.
This comes in.
Well, Lauren, what duration of time are we talking here? Are we talking like an hour or two as a goof? Or are we talking like somebody who lives there permanently?
It's talking years,
in secret.
I'm assuming.
I saw part of a TV show about it, and I've heard it from somebody else who's talking about it.
Wait. What was it, like Felicity or was it like Dateline?
Like I don't remember, but it was like a Dateline.
I remember it was one of those.
It was like a real
one of those,
you know,
Felicity Dateline shows.
I'm having the hardest time searching this. I'm
best. Oh, no.
Squatters.
There's got to be what she's describing is very specific.
Yeah, squatters aren't for like a building that's already being
squatters
resided
is like, it's
in.
Been
not
like
in a garage.
This is like some. It's a game.
It's called 1 hour.
It's like timeshare. It's like a timeshare, really. You just live there when the other people aren't living there.
Yeah, but they like found people who were like living in houses or apartments or whatever for like years. And like they would just know the schedule. I mean, they were careful on that, but yeah. Like,
so just to be clear, though, let's be clear.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
This is not a game. This is a crime.
Yeah. It is.
So this how is would you get in?
The hunger cry.
I didn't see the whole thing. I only caught the end of it, and I heard then somebody talking about it at a previous shower I went to, and I was like, oh my god, I saw part of that, and there were. And yeah, they're like, oh yeah, this is a thing. And I was like, what?
This is a really cool fad. I was thinking about doing it this week.
Keith,
he's got it.
What up, man?
So I'm so glad you're here. Listen, I got a sweet game, right?
Yeah, cool. I'm ready.
Okay, it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Okay, what is it?
Okay, so the people over at 826, right? Yeah, you might recognize them anyway. Whatever. Not important.
The really white couple.
Yeah. The extremely white couple.
Yeah, I remember, okay,
yeah.
What's that?
Well, they're Bella and like I've studied their schedule. They're going to be gone from like 8:30 to 12:30 today, which means like if we want to do this, we got to go now.
Okay. Well, what do you mean?
Okay. Well, we're going to go over there. We're going to sneak into their house. We're going to watch TV there for like an hour and a half, and then we're going to go.
Are we going to rob them while we're there?
No. We can't rob them because then they'll know that we were there.
Yep.
Are we
coming back or something?
Coming back to
why do we care if they knew we were there or not? Are we planning a return visit?
No, it's funny. It's cool. It'll be fun. We're just gonna watch like.
Is this just one of those new fads?
No, I swear this one is great.
All
this
right.
is way better than silly bands were.
All right, I'll try it. I'll try.
All right,
it.
Great.
Let's go.
We gotta go now.
I know, man.
But isn't that a creepy thing, like, that people could possibly be living in your apartment while you're
gone? Well, it sounds like they're not up to any light mischief.
Yeah.
I mean, you said that the worst was your shampoo.
You know, yeah, they, like, eat your stuff or
whatever.
Get it out
of my house.
I've never heard of that.
I would still be pretty upset.
What if you were sneaking in, like, let's say you're playing a game, and then, like, one of the roommates was, like, sick, we didn't know that, and he was just, like... Like, you know, like, just, like, a really annoying guy. And, like, you were just, like, hiding, like, under the closet, like, under the couch. And you finally just said, like, I give up. I can't do this. you're the weird one. What would that be like? Like, how would you feel if, like, the guy being the creepy guy playing the game called you the weird one because
he bursts out of our dead TV over there? He's like,
so guys, every Monday you're doing this improv thing. I can't stand it anymore. I'm leaving. You win.
You guys are fucking weirdos. I'm out of here.
I'm out.
Because I do
out.
Weird stuff. Like, taking my camera. I swear at my TV. I yell at inanimate objects. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'm the weird one in the apartment.
Maybe.
Are you paying the rent?
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go. Yeah.
What if you followed someone's schedule, like, and then started breaking in and stuff, but then you discovered that person had done the same thing prior?
To you?
No, well, to whoever actually lived there. So you were just, like, squatting a squatter?
But you're there at the same time as the real owners.
Well, or maybe there's, like, three time points.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Maybe they're just too busy golfing sometimes, so they can't go squat.
Take a lot of vacations. Or it's, like, a summer home.
Oh, man.
Yeah, or like that.
They could be doctors. Doctors like golf, right?
Yeah.
Doctors golf.
Probably.
I mean, probably, but golf. It could just be a summer home, you guys.
Probably not everybody's good at golf, though, you know?
But what sort they of really chips like might golf. They eat?
Well, they might need some of Cloud's golf tips.
At 5 in the morning, sit cross-legged in the middle of the course. Take a deep breath in. And exhale. Take a small nap until your first tee off at 8 a.m. Then, after you hit that ball, you can say, "Thank you, breath of the day."
This has been Cloud's Golf Tips.
Bingo.
I'm fucking what?
Try it before you knock it.
Just try it before you knock it.
I am such a naysayer. I just don't feel like these are any good tips. But they're Cloud's
golf. Well, let's all go golfing sometime then.
I have try many books.
Out. Can we all go golfing and just document us trying Cloud's golf tips?
Yes.
I've been saying that for years.
Yeah, we'll get kicked out of that course.
Oh, for sure.
We have to spend like a whole day doing arts and crafts, making little faces to put on the balls.
Yeah, and wasn't there a chocolate ball once?
There's one that involved like a tiger or something.
Yeah. Well, we can skip the ones that aren't possible.
Well, that's going to be a short list.
We can get a tiger. Yeah.
You're right.
Well, we can get a tiger.
Cloud, I'm sorry I doubted you. We should just get a tiger.
So true.
It could be called Raja.
Raja.
Yeah.
Just like in the Hunger Games, right, Lauren?
Close.
Lauren, you want a Lauren's 20 seconds of Hunger Games as we're wrapping up the podcast?
I can sum it up in 2 seconds.
You got 20.
Wait, no, I just wanted 2.
So you just want two seconds of Hunger Games?
Yeah.
All right.
Ready?
Now we present Lauren Imony's 2 seconds of Hunger Games.
Peter! Team Penis.
What?
See, this has been 2 seconds of Lauren.
Oh. As in like PETA and Katniss becomes Team Penis.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
I don't know anything about this film,
so that's lost on me.
I refuse to read. So
I agree.
I'm with you, man.
Lauren, you said that PETA is going to be the next Robert Pattinson, but I heard a lot about Robert Pattinson. Like after Twilight came out. I have only heard you talk about PETA, whose normal name I don't even know.
Well, that's... I think this movie is... People are more so talking about just how this movie is good. There wasn't...
Yeah.
You couldn't talk about Twilight really being, like, that awesome.
It was
like
just
the Hunger Games, is, from what I hear at least, is a lot better produced. It's a lot better acted. It's just
that's
better
good.
Overall.
And you, I mean, you can never lose with the kids killing kids plot.
True. This guy's a dreamboat.
And Josh Hutcherson has been on a lot of things recently. He's doing a lot,
yeah, like
though, right now.
He was in the Hunger Games?
What?
He was in the Hunger Games.
No, I mean, I meant like a lot of shows and stuff. But yeah, and he has a lot of movies coming out. And
the next Hunger Games.
And he's also
the next
been,
Hunger Games?
He's also been in a lot of stuff. Like, I mean, he was a...
Doesn't look like
he's a big kid star, like child star.
Yeah,
and he was in the Kids All Right. What?
Speaking of child stars, did any of you guys see the video of, like, 25 years of Lindsay Lohan's face?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
I actually
no.
did, and it's terrifying.
She looks like
shit. I only saw the Britney Spears one.
Oh.
It's equally disappointing.
Horrifying. horrifying. She looks like she's mid-40s.
Poor woman.
She's like an old woman.
Don't do drugs, children. She's
like an old woman. All the children that listen to our podcast.
Minnesota.
All right, folks, we are actually just about out of time, but...
Pretends I'm so dumb.
Well, Keith...
Dumb? Maybe you need clouds.
No!
maybe some celebrity birthdays. Will make you feel
Not yet.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned, LP. Also, like last week, I hadn't had them all picked out yet, so I'm scrambling.
I found some.
Happy birthday. Okay, what, you want to tag team it?
Yeah, sure.
All right, happy birthday. Are you on April 6th, since this is dropping on Friday?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm on 2nd, because it's the 2nd.
I made that mistake.
All right, cool.
All right.
Do both.
Happy birthday, Paul Rudd.
Happy birthday, Michael Fassbender.
Happy birthday, Zach Braff.
Happy birthday, Russell Crowe.
Happy birthday, Billy Dee Williams.
Happy birthday, Merle Haggard. There we go.
Happy birthday. Oh, shit. I'm going way back in time. LP, I think you win the birthday.
Candace Cameron from Full House.
Oh,
nice.
Nice,
dude. What a great day. Yeah. What a great day to be out on. So many wonderful people.
Wow, that was what, like 7 names?
Yeah, but the first one, Michael Fassbender, was from the 2nd, because I was still on that page.
Oh. About 7, though.
Well, happy it's his birthday right now, so...
Yeah, it's about
congratulations.
7.
Congratulations.
About 7. 7?
What's that number for?
Well, it reminds me of Nick Mikula's...
7 words of wisdom.
Okay, Scott. I checked WebMD. I don't...
This has been Nick Mikula's 7
words of wisdom.
Oh man, I meant to
say that. Now I'm concerned because that can mean a lot of things for both of us.
No, his prostate's okay,
I spent the last half an hour doing research.
You're really nervous about this.
I was really nervous about our prostate.
Why?
Well, we were talking about it before the podcast.
I had a lot of water last night. I got up at 3
so
morning
that's not. That's normal.
I go to the bathroom during the night all the time. It's okay.
But Scotty D said I probably have prostate problems.
Oh.
I got nervous.
I said you should have it checked, sir.
I goaded a little bit of fear.
A little preventative care goes a long way.
Real quick, this is not part of my 7 words of wisdom, but LP just showed this to me and I kind of tuned out for the podcast.
Yeah.
The Olympic Games that are in London, the opening ceremony has James Bond, Daniel Craig, skydiving and parachuting into the opening ceremony.
What?
That's going to be awesome.
That's awesome.
Opening ceremony ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what a top secret agent would do.
Yeah.
No one will see.
All right, everybody. We are just about out of time. But as always, follow us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at Octavarius. And with that being said, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye. Congratulations to Buscow. Buscow.
Go run for your life.
Buscow.
You're running out of time. Close and lock the door. He's coming back for more.
Buscow.